On this episode of Pottages.
She might also just go and, like, steal eggs out of birds' nests. Like, that's a normal thing that animals do. That's a normal thing that people do, too.
Oh, I don't know what you do in Florida, Ash.
I need your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages!
Welcome to Pottages, episode 304.5. Enter the feedback.
Feedback for Tokyo Devas, part 1.
Recorded February 4th, 2016.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
One punch!
And Asher Selfman.
This is the bicycle named Justice. I don't know if he actually ever says that. We just, like, have to infer that his bicycle is literally named Justice.
I don't remember that. What's the noun of infer?
Inference?
Inference, yes. I don't remember that. No, I guess what I mean is implication, because it's the opposite side. I don't remember that implication. How is it implied?
His bicycle is actually legit named Justice, yes.
Is there, like, text on it?
No, it's a bicycle.
What are we talking about?
It happened in the manga, yeah.
Oh.
The bicycle is definitely named Justice, okay, guys?
When you say something's named Justice, I think of the, like, One Piece. I don't know who that. The guys just have, like, Justice written on their coats.
The Marines?
Yeah. But, like, the Marines, I don't, they're, like, they, are they, like, the captains or, like, admirals or, I don't know, they wear white coats and they say Justice.
The Marines?
Well, but, like, the whole Navy is Marines, aren't they?
Oh, are you talking about a specific division?
Yeah, no, like the leaders.
They all had it.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I guess like everyone has it to some degree. I was thinking of the ones that have like the bleach captain style robes.
Oh, like the higher up guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all have different ranks.
Okay. Our first time we'd be like, let's keep it under an hour and I'm wasting it on discussion of One Piece.
We're not going to keep it under an hour. I have no faith in us.
So, first off, we kind of have a DigiNews segment, and it's kind of, I mean, it's, we last time we talked about Digimon News was 303.5, which I think we released no middle November before we went to Japan, and I mean, just like tons of stuff has happened since then. That was before Tri came out, that was before we knew that Tri was going to be on Crunchyroll, I think everyone's, you know, and Cyber Sleuth came out this week in English, and yeah, I think all that stuff. It's possible you're listening without knowing that, but I don't know how you could not know that Tri came out since we released several episodes about Tri. But additional things, the next Digimon game, Digimon World Next Order, is coming out in Japan in March. And Tri Chapter 2, there was a Tri Chapter 2/3 PV last month, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this wrong. Yeah. Last month that we recorded an episode about, so you probably know about that too. And Tri Chapter 2 is coming out in March 12th and likely simulcast on Crunchyroll, so that's going to be cool. I don't know. There's a bunch of small, like, before there was a time when we could just list all the news about Digimon, like all products and stuff that came out, and now it's, there's way too much to get into, and especially over several months. But I don't know, my main comment about this was just like, the fandom feels very different now than even 4 months ago. Like, it feels like with the Tri things actively coming out, with a Digimon game in the West, a new Digimon game in Japan, there just seems to be so much more energy and there's more people talking about it who didn't. Before, it was like the dedicated fans. And like, I have like a saved search in TweetDeck for Digimon on Twitter. And like, before it was like, I don't know, it was a smaller group of like the same kind of, not the same kind of people, but like, you know, it was kind of like Digimon fans talking about the thing they loved. And what I've been seeing over the past week or two is just the people being like, and since Tri came out, is like, whoa, Digimon, I forgot the thing. And so, I don't know. And just, yeah, I mean, comments is Digimon feels alive again in a way that hasn't in a while, and yeah,
cheesy.
Just, like, even when we started the podcast, like, Digimon Fusion was airing on TV, and but it to us felt like, well, whatever. I mean, we're not really interested in new Digimon dubs, so we were like,
eh. Speak for yourself, Jeff.
Okay, I'm
there
not.
There are people that liked it. I don't happen to be one. I mean, I watched the first few episodes as it came out, but like, I wasn't into Taiki, so
yeah.
I feel like I don't have access to, like, watch the things on TV, so if that's how the main consumption method, then I'm not going to watch it.
I mean, we had cable.
What time does it come on?
You could have looked us up. I mean, it's possible. And what I was saying is that the three of us didn't care when we started. Like, I don't think Fusion was actually airing right when we started. I forget. It may have been, like, on hiatus or something. But anyway, like, yeah, I wasn't saying, like, we as a fan. I mean, like, we the three of us. I think Andrew was more interested, but
yeah, Andrew watched all of it.
Yeah.
Now that we're back and alive, we have a ton of new iTunes reviews. By a ton, I mean like 10. I don't know. I can't math.
We were never not alive. It's more that we weren't doing Tamers episodes with feedback segments that like we were still.
I feel like it was like a solid month where we did not release
it. Okay, yes, a month, but
it's a long time.
Right, but what I'm saying is like it's been like 3 months since the last feedback episode, so there's a big pile of them, but it hasn't been 3 months since the episode.
All right, whatever. We don't know what we're doing. New reviewers. Gotta read them all. Kaioken 95, Hunting Miss, Emeramoto, Amaryu, a Digimon fan.
Very best good. Name.
Doa Rodwan, Kiwara, Artistic, Sophie Padamon, Kobakashi, Rika is my favorite, and Not Your Chambermaid.
Yeah, and there are two new countries with iTunes reviews the first time. So Saudi Arabia and Spain have our first reviews from Omaru and Not Your Chambermaid, and that's really awesome. So thank you, guys, people.
And now we have just a ton more of reviews to Transgarble, and the lucky winner today is...
the lucky winner, we're going through chronologically one at a time.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh man, how do I say this? Zarine in Canada. The original review is, it's great. These discussions are really what I've been looking for since rewatching Digimon Adventure 01. It's entertaining and there are a lot I could relate to. I hope you guys start on Adventure 02 soon. I don't know, I guess we did that.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, I try to remember. I think there was a really long pause between seasons, but not as long as the pause between the last 02 episode and the others. I can't really remember. It's been so long.
The Transgarbled review is, what is the secret? I do not know. There is no one should ask in the Digimon Adventure rewatching.
Good advice.
Although these are all my conference with several interesting. One hope at the beginning of the two men at the same time. I don't even know what happened there.
I mean, several things I like about this is that interesting got introduced out of nowhere.
Yes, interesting. It knew what it was about.
And also, two men at the same time is just...
One hope at the beginning of the two men at the same time.
Like, it's just a concise... what's the word? It's so concisely suggestive, you know? Like it doesn't mention anything vulgar, but, like, just, like, two men at the same time. Like, there's nothing vulgar about any of those words, and it's only six words, and together it... Yes.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, please leave a review if you have not done so yet, and we will thank you on air, and then we'll transgarble it into something nonsensical that you will laugh at, and you'll automatically be entered to win future contests, which are coming. Watch out.
Watch out. Speaking of watching out, here are titles we decided we didn't want you to watch at all. And I say we as if I had anything to do with this, but generally Jeff is the one who comes up with all the bad titles, and no. I just like come in afterwards and like sort of
and then tell him say that they're
no.
bad.
No, no,
yeah, I usually come up with like one in this podcast.
I usually come up with like two or three, and then Ashley comes up with like four more, and then Andrew comes up with like 15 more.
And, that's true. Andrew comes up with a lot of trash.
Up his game recently. Right.
And so this week, Andrew wasn't on the original episode, so we don't have
these
a huge Jeff's, list.
Probably. All right, so here they are.
I was wondering about that.
Well, I guess they're not all rejected because I put the...
Oh, okay. I was like, sorry, I was looking at these and trying to remember which they actually, like what these episodes were actually about. But now I remember.
Okay.
It's been a long time since we recorded 304.
I think we recorded it in... No, it was...
Before my birthday.
Yeah, because Asher mentions his birthday in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
His birthday coming up.
So it's been a long time. Now I remember where we are. So maybe you can guess where we left off to. All right. So here are rejected titles that we did not use. Zodiac Attack. Picnics and Televangelist Owls. Like, that one's descriptive, I guess. Your pain is my pain. I don't actually even... What is that even referring to? I don't recall.
The grandma and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. That was
sounds
weird.
Like an Ashley title.
Snakes and Tigers and Roosters. Oh, my. Snakes on a Train. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and now this is how you guys rated these episodes on our website, which is how you can rate episodes.
Yeah, in the show notes for each episode, there's a little widgets you can give star rankings out of.
So I just went to this page, and it looks like it broke itself.
It's unclear if it broke itself or if I broke it, but yeah, it's displaying ratings out of 4 stars for some reason now, which is confusing and weird, and it should be out of 5, but it's all kind of percentage-based anyway, so yeah, the numbers we have are out of 5 stars.
Okay, so you all overwhelmingly liked episode 14 with 4 out of 5 stars, did not like episode 15, 2.5 stars, and we're, you know, episode 16 was okay, 3 stars.
I'm surprised how much these generally line up with our own ratings.
I feel like we bias them.
Well, yeah.
We bias them, but I think also,
we just brainwash them.
There is a general idea of, okay, this one was not so great.
Yeah, I think actually the episode 14 was higher. We gave it 3, 3.5, and 3. And so, like, the listeners like it a lot more than we did, I think, for it to have an average of 4.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what episode 14 was.
14 was the one with Wargramon.
I feel like I would have given episode 16 a worse rating than 15, too. Oh, yeah. No, because I hated...
No, you gave that one a really bad rating, even though you really love the owl. And I was like, Ashley, you can't, like... You need the owl. You can't.
Well, I like the owl because he was ridiculous.
And we also have the results of the Ridiculous Dialogue Draft poll from last episode. And in first place was Asher, your quote about Takato sighing and then just saying, oh, nothing, just like keep breathing. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was just like looking at it. Sorry. You know, I'm a visual learner, not an auditory one. I don't process talk well. Why am I on a podcast?
Why do you want to be a rabbi? Rabbis don't like portray things visually.
They can. Wow. Are you like telling me how to do my job?
What are you gonna do? Like have a flip book?
First of all, did I ever say I wanted to be a pulpit rabbi?
Wait, there are other kinds?
Yes. Oh my god. Just continue.
Yes. So in second place, tie for second place was Ashley's your makeup quote, or your replacement quote, where Guillemon is like in that weird alternate reality and pretends that he's like a tamer, it's not over yet, overly dramatic. And tied with that was Ashley's other quote. So I just was not on my game, apparently.
Ashley's other quote about
the vending machine sandwich, quote unquote vending machine sandwich, totally not alcohol.
I overall feel that I won this because Asher had the best individual quote, but then the worst individual quote as well.
Well, no, I mean, summed up by a host, which I forgot we used to do. But yeah, summed up by host, Asher got 7 points, you got 8 points.
Yeah, so I won.
And I got 4, so.
Yeah, so Jeff lost.
Jeff
so it goes. Yep. And the next thing, we have the results of the Pottages Fantasy Draft. And if the Fantasy Draft is basically before the episode comes out, you predict basically who you expect us to choose as our favorite characters in the episodes. So you basically pick a team of a human and a Digimon as your fantasy team. And then if we pick one of those as our favorite characters, then you get a point. And that's the basic scoring. But we also, in the segment, choose our the teams like the best based on most incongruous team, like the most ridiculous to exist as an actual team, and the team we want to actually exist the most. So kind of polar opposites. And yeah, so there was only one person, Rika's my favorite, who picked a character that we picked, which was Impmon. I think that was because actually you wasted yours in the
I'm
owl.
I'm such a troll.
yeah, a lot of people expected us to choose Rika or Takato, and nope.
Oops.
But
yeah,
So we have to pick the most incongruous team and the most desired team. I think, are you guys looking at the list?
Incongruous, yeah. Rika and Terrymon.
Actually, no. Rika and Sindoramon is...
I think Rika is a little bit, like, she'd be like, yeah, okay. Sindoramon's, like, kind of bad. And she's like, I just want to beat people. Like, she'd be cool with it. She'd be fine.
You know, the main, I see your point, but I don't totally buy it. The reason I'm against that now, I think about it, is because Shiny Mac is clearly just going for the most ridiculous thing. He, like, tries to find the most ridiculous ones, and I'm like, you know, like, I kind of want to subvert that, and...
Yeah, see?
Not
Rika Terrymon.
Yeah, because it's true, like, Rika and Terrymon, I feel like they could, you know, they would learn to get along, but it would be much longer.
I feel like Rika and Terrymon have a better synergy than Rika and Impmon would, though.
Oh, is that tier two? Yeah.
Because Impmon's not that strong. And Impmon wouldn't like having a team.
Yeah, and Rika wouldn't
And Rika wouldn't treat him the way he wants him to. Yeah, like, it just wouldn't work really well.
Well, no, I feel like Rika and Imman, they just wouldn't do anything. Like, Imman would go off on his own, Rika go off on her own, and they just, okay. Like, I guess that's that.
But I feel like Teriyamon would pester Rika, being like, no, we need to be friends. And Rika would just be like, get the hell away from me. Like, I think, what is wrong with you?
I think she'd eventually come around, though.
That's already the dynamic with Rika and Calamon, though.
Yeah, except Teriyamon's kind of more obnoxious, but he's also smarter, so like, and stronger, like, he can do more. So like, there are reasons that they could sort of get around each other's stumbling blocks, while like Rika and Impmon, like, it's just not going to work.
So we decided that if we all come to a consensus on these incongruous teams and most desired teams, then that team gets 1 point. But if we can't come to a consensus, then we all get a point to distribute. So,
okay.
So what are you guys voting for incongruous team?
I'm still sticking with Rika and Teriyamon.
I like Rika and Impmon as the most incongruous team.
I think I'm also going for Rika and Teriyamon. So Asher, do you want to submit, or do you want to break the consensus? Do you want to stick with your guns?
I mean, I don't agree with you guys, but you have the majority, so like, that's how democracy works.
Okay, so we're getting 1 point to Rika and Teriyamon.
Don't they get 2 points since you both did? Oh, you're just giving the point.
Wait, if we come to consensus, since you agreed, and that goes to Erdemon, who was May from Lost in Translationmon, and then we also, the team we want to exist the most.
It was awkward because some of these already exist.
Actually, so we have Takato and Gilmon and Henry and Teriyamon, which, like, they work really well because they're canonical. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And none of the other ones I really want to exist.
I totally want Rika and Cinderamon to exist. Look, all
right, though, I kind of want that.
okay. Yep.
That would be really badass.
We're all waiting for that.
Yeah.
So this is kind of weird because, like, it actually incentivizes chaos on the part of the listeners. Like, if listeners can get us to not agree, then they get more points get distributed. And if we agree, then we only give about 1 point for each of those. So I'm not sure how that really affects how people can play the game, but
I don't think it matters. But what do I know?
Okay, so now the leaderboard. First place is tied between Embermoto and Rika's my favorite, and then tied for third place is Erdemon and Hyalurai.
I don't think Jeff emphasized that the point of this draft is that you win something really cool, which is yet to be determined, but it will be really cool.
Yeah, I guess I didn't emphasize it because we haven't yet decided what the cool thing is. But we do have a poll.
Can you give an example of a cool thing?
I mean, we have a poll on the site, on the side, with people expressing their interest in
what is currently winning.
And what is currently winning might be something that we can't afford because it went up in price since we posted that. Yes, the Tri Complete Selection Digivice, I do not think it's going to be reasonable anymore. At a point where it was like pre-orderable, maybe, but now it's like super rare and hard to get.
Well, what's the second?
Third place one is the Digimon Adventure English DVDs, which totally feasible. Or Tamers DVDs.
You know, the up next thing says Deva's Part 1 feedback on Friday, January 5th, and I'm just...
Yeah, it's time travel, Ashley. Deal with it. We're the podcasters who left through time. Okay. That'd be a good name for a podcast. So, Ashley, speaking of time travel and predicting things.
Yeah, so let's go back to the past where people predicted what we were going to say in 304. Nobody got anything right. Come on. Interesting, funny ones from Sophie Padamon. Teriyamon will get the most lines picked for RDG this week.
Oh, that's funny because Teriyamon got no lines for RDD.
Nope. Poor Teriyamon. Sophie Padamon, again, if there's a single line picked from episode 14 for RDD, it will be the one about peanut butter. Otherwise, no lines from episode 14 will be picked.
Several lines from episode 14 were picked, not the peanut butter one.
Is that the one that you all, like, picked from? And I was like, I'm going to purposely pick from a different episode.
Actually, only one was from 14. So it was only slightly off.
It was the Tamers one.
They're all Tamers episodes, Ashley.
No.
What do you mean?
This microphone.
No, what do you mean? I'm confused.
Tamer.
Oh, that's what you meant?
Kill you.
That was not clear.
Rika is my favorite. Mr. Mori's suntan lotion comma will come up in a gender discussion.
We didn't have a gender discussion.
Didn't we mention that briefly, though?
I feel like we've in the past mentioned Mori and Asaji's, like, relationship and how it was kind of skeevy at times, but, like, I don't think it was in the last episode. It was like when they're in the park.
I don't think we addressed it directly, but like Mr. Mori was creepy in like the whole episode.
Yeah.
We definitely talked about it, but maybe not that one. But it's been 3 months, so I don't know.
I kind of like almost forgot it happened at all, except for looking at screenshots that Ashley took. And I'm like, oh yeah, he's like, yeah, holding sunscreen over her. And it's weird.
So these are the listener RDD picks where you guys get to send in your favorite lines, ridiculous, funny, poignant, whatever, bad.
Whatever Ashley says.
Bad. And how you do that is there's a forum post that goes up along with the main episode, and you get to just go stick it on the forum. And if you don't know where our forum is, you can find it by going to the episode page, I think.
Also, it's forum.pottages.com.
Also that. So, may the dialogue be ever in your... Oh, and we pick our favorites.
Yes, we have to discuss that.
May the dialogue be ever in your favor. And we didn't come up with that. Alex Nichelle came up with that.
Ooh, my favorite is from Sophie Padamon, and it is Guillaumon in episode 16 saying, "Takato, slow down! Why didn't you draw me with longer legs?"
I wonder if Gilwan's really like consciously aware of the fact that like every aspect of his physical body has been designed, but like that, like, you know, he has like the direct result, like every part of him has been consciously. I guess the other thing is that a lot of Takato, he didn't intend for things, but I don't know. It reminds me of the like moral dilemma in Fullmetal Alchemist, I think not Brotherhood, the original anime series, where Al is like, what if I am fake and like you made me up? And because Kimon was made up. Anyway,
I also agree with Ashley's pick. But I would add a runner-up from Riga is my favorite again. Oh, sarcasm. So that's what you call it. You don't have to teach me that, Henry. From Terriermon. I miss Terriermon.
You only did it because you can't admit that Guillaumon is funnier than Terriermon.
Wow.
Wow. What's up? Throw down.
They're funny in different ways. They're differentially funny.
My favorite I'm gonna pick, because I wrote it down as being like a what, but like I didn't consider, or I didn't have it highly ranked enough for my picks, but I was just like, I'm still like, what? Why was? And it has to be Gargamon. I mean, Embermoto didn't specify, but it's from Embermoto, and it's just gum bunnies hate snakes. Let's go. Like, what is that a reference?
I didn't
something? Like,
hear that one. Like, just, in the episode, I don't.
Yeah, I think it's like when like Gargamon's fighting the snake David, and just like, you know, that's why I need to fight, because obviously gun bunnies hate snakes. Like,
obviously,
maybe there's like an Animal Kingdom rivalry between rabbits and snakes. Like, do snakes eat rabbits? Maybe.
Yes, they do.
So I guess the implication is like, once you give guns to a bunny, they're obviously gonna go murder snakes.
It makes perfect sense now. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also have unanswered questions submitted by listeners. So basically, we pick our unanswered questions in the episode, and there are plenty of things that listeners find while watching episodes that we did not mention. So this is your chance to send them in through the forum, another forum thread, and then we pick the ones that we were like, oh yeah, that. One of these actually like was raised and then explained, and it was Rika's my favorite, questioning why Henry had something planned on his calendar and didn't go anywhere. And apparently it is clear that it's saying the name of his, do they specify what kind of sensei it is? His martial arts sensei. And that's, it's supposed to explain why, I only remember this because there's a screenshot we have of Henry, of Terriermon sitting on Henry's lap on the train, like doing Tai Chi on his lap. It's adorable. It's weird because we have such hazy memory of these episodes by now. It's been so many months.
Sophie Padamon, why does the Deva, who knows he's been defeated, warn them about the other Devas? I don't know. It's pretty silly.
I mean, that is one thing. I'm like, that actually, that there's so many other inconsistencies with the Deva's behavior. Like, that's the one part. The warning and scaring them away actually makes sense. You know, like, because they want them to stop their aggression towards the Digimon or whatever. So, like, being like, you know, I'm not the last one, be scared, makes some sense. It doesn't. The thing is, it doesn't make sense with his other stated goals of like, we want to take over the world or whatever. Like, it doesn't, because like, yeah, if you want to take over the world, you wouldn't warn them. Oh, and Sophie Badman also raised the questions of, I mean, these episodes, I think, I guess people were complaining about plot holes because of the fact that like champions are able to take down an ultimate multiple, like in both 15 and 16. Although in 16, it's because of like electricity and the water, and it's like, wait, that's the first time that like the environment has taken down a Digimon. All right, so the question is, like, the snake attacks rookies and they are unharmed, and also two champions getting an ultimate. Yeah, I don't know. I never really questioned that too much, because I was like, okay, they're just weaker ultimates. They're just, like, super weak. Well, I don't know. Which has, like, never been present at any other point in the series, so it's kind of weird. And I also got the impression that that Growlmon is stronger than most champions, but I don't remember how much.
I would agree with that. I think also maybe the champions have been downloading a lot of data, but you would imagine, I don't know, I would imagine that the Devas have been around for a long time and absorbed a lot of data too, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm trying to make that data thing make sense. All right.
Okay, Ashley.
Oh, we have a question of the week voicemails. What was our question of the weekend? I don't know. The weekend.
Question of the weekend. It was the, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was the,
what,
like,
would you give your, what food, drink would you give your Digimon?
Yes.
We ask a question at the end of each episode, and we love for you, dear listeners, to answer it by either sending a voice recording as, like, an attachment to an email. You can call our number. I don't remember what the number is. Something about Calamon. 1-800-CALAMON? Is that what it is?
It's not 1-800. It's not 800 number. But no, we mentioned the episode, and we mentioned the email address on Twitter and social media and stuff, but I don't mention the phone number on social media because I assume that's bad. I don't know. I assume that the spammers can then get it, and then, so, yeah. In the episode, when we mentioned the question of the week, we'll mention the phone number.
Anyway, you can also just write us an email, and we will have lovely Robotmon read it for you. So, first up, our two mainstays. First, May.
Hello, Podigious. If I could give my Digimon a gift or a snack, I think I would have to go for the Australian route of giving them Tim Tams or fairy bread, because I'm sure my massive Airdramon would appreciate fairy bread. And I'm not sure if you have fairy bread, but it's like you put bread and then you put butter and then you put hundreds and thousands on, but sometimes you can put Nutella instead of butter, and that's pretty good. And you probably have Tim Tams. Everybody, I love Tim Tams. But yeah, so that's what I give my Digimon. I'd also maybe give my Digimon piercings, but I'm not sure if that counts as animal abuse or not. They'd consent to it.
No, we don't have Tim Tams. I have no idea what
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what hundreds and thousands are either. Do we have those?
I think Tim Tams might be a thing that we have somewhere, but, like, no one knows about. Like, they might be, like, the...
You can only buy them on Amazon, maybe?
Oh, wait, no, I've definitely eaten them, and they are great.
What are they? Hold on, I'm looking them up.
I don't know why I've eaten them. I feel like somebody brought them back from a trip to my work and let me eat them.
Oh, they look really good.
So I don't know that we actually have them. However, I have eaten one.
Oh, I want one. Wow.
I mean, they are on Amazon.
Well, Jeffrey, why the heck didn't you put them in your Amazon pantry order?
Because they're not in Amazon pantry, but I can just order them on their own. Oh, it looks like it's like $9 for an individual package. So.
Oh.
This is why we don't eat Tim Tams. Anyway.
Oh, hundreds and thousands are sprinkles.
What? Like, is that a colloquial or like a brand?
I just, look, they're that's what they are.
But, like, I was imagining, like, dollar bills.
What?
You know, like, layered dollar bills.
No, they're sprinkles. We call these sprinkles.
Actually, no, sprinkles is, like, a regional thing in the U.S., I think.
Really?
Yeah.
But no, we're from different Jimmy's. Regions.
It's, I mean, I think actually, like, the Northeast coincides with Florida a lot.
Well, yeah.
Because of the Jews.
Yeah. No, sprinkles not the regional thing.
Because of Jews. Lots of Northerners move to South Florida.
No, Jimmy's is the Boston, New England word for sprinkles. You're getting it confused. You're backwardsing it.
Okay, I guess so.
Sprinkles is the more general one, I'm pretty sure.
So in British English, there's sugar strands or hundreds and thousands. And
why would you call something hundreds and thousands? I'm so confused.
It's so, like, elaborate of a term.
Okay, according to cakespy.com, this term, the hundreds and thousands term, is the term favored in England, as well as countries which speak British English. This term seems to refer specifically to the tiny round type of nonpareil sprinkles, the type pictured, you can't see the top of this post, so that parentheses is not applicable to you guys. It is also the most adorable term in Cakespy's opinion.
Okay.
What is this? I love I love language learning with May.
See, I was going to be like, this discussion of like food is like, I realized after listening, it's like, it's going to be just all talks about food. And I'm like, this is totally off topic, but everyone's going to hear what I'm referring to after this, because this is going to come up before the episode I'm talking about. But in a future episode, Asher's plug was like totally food related.
Oh, yeah.
Became a cooking podcast briefly. We will become a cooking podcast briefly.
We know the future.
I don't think we have whatever bread that May mentioned either, but I will eat any bread that I can spread Nutella on. That's fine.
No, she explained it. She said fairy bread is bread with sprinkles and with butter and sprinkles on it.
All right, well, we definitely don't.
Which my now 8-year-old cousin loves for breakfast.
That's not.
So we do have it.
Hey, icing?
What?
Wait.
No. You take a piece of bread, you put butter on it so things will stick. And then you put sprinkles on it. He puts chocolate sprinkles.
Huh. This sounds horrific.
Yeah, it's not something I would feed a 7-year-old. But, I mean, he ate it for breakfast, which means he went to school and I didn't have to deal with it.
Australia, you're weird.
We should get Ash's opinion and also the listener's opinion on the horrific thing we learned yesterday, Ashley, on the Dear Hank and John podcast. Which is that John Green.
I've heard other people say that, but like, John Green, I thought you were better than that.
So John Green eats his cereal in water.
Ew!
It's gross!
That's disgusting.
And he likes it!
No.
He said it's better than milk.
He's objectively wrong. What? He's a liar.
Like, the funny thing is that Hank Green had the same reaction. He was like, wait, I do not know this about you.
And he was like, I will try this and I will waste a perfectly good
see I don't even, I was like playing that in my head and like I kind of want to try it, but I also don't know what I like.
No,
like you can't just like throw it out. Like, I'm like, the thought of like the cereal mixed with the water, like how do you even dispose of that grossness? Ugh. Like
anyway, let's find out what Sophie Padamon would be doing next.
Hi, Sophie here, answering the question of the week. So, first of all, I decided that my Digimon would obviously have to be a Patamon, because I love Patamon so much. So my next thought was, what could I feed this Patamon to make it just the most adorable thing ever? And it has to be grapes, because just picture a Patamon holding grapes with his two front feet, and it's just so cute. And it's just like curling up as he's trying to chew on it. Oh, it's so adorable. Sorry, I'm just thinking about it now. It's so cute. Anyway, that's my answer to the question of the week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
We should make that into a sticker, Jeffrey.
Sophie's so cute. Wow. I'm picturing it, and I'm actually having trouble picturing Patamon being able to hold a grape with his stubby little legs. Like, they might be too short to meet in the middle.
I think it has to be like a larger than normal grape. If anyone feels inspired or really wants to draw this image, we would totally encourage that.
Yes, do it. Somebody who can draw.
I mean, I feel conflicted about like telling people to do things, because it's like asking for unpaid work. But if you want to.
Why are you making it complicated?
Yeah.
Because I always have these reservations about things.
I don't have any actual power over them. They do it because they want it to.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what people say about, you know, having writers do things for exposure. Like, they don't have, they can choose to not do it.
That's different.
It's also a little different.
It's similar. It's not the same.
Not really.
But I mean, like, I feel like the same motivations are at play.
We're not asking them to produce anything for us to use commercially.
Yeah.
That's true.
We're not like, please do this work for free because it will be good for you. Actually, it's just actually really good for us.
Yeah, we're just asking for fun doodles. Like, people do that all the time.
On a random side, I've seen a recent trend of anime bloggers who, like, accept commissions for what they write about, but not in a, like, what I'm used to, like, artist commissions is, you know, you commission it and then you own it. Like, they give you the art. But these are like, commission me to write about something which I own, but you kind of chose what I wrote about. Does that seem weird to anyone else? That's just me.
It's not that weird in a historical context.
Like, that's a normal thing that people have done for a while?
Well, I mean, kind of. Shakespeare made a living for, well, I don't know if he made a living, but he did poems on commission for people.
And then they were like owned by him?
No, actually.
I don't know what kind of ownership there existed in Shakespearean.
The fact that we know they were Shakespeare's makes me wonder. Because, I mean, how else would we know that?
Right.
But even if Also copyright laws weren't a thing back then.
And also, like, there's the debate about stuff written, if they're actually written by Shakespeare.
Right. Which I'm not getting into.
I don't know enough to even get into it.
I had to read a book on it in high school. But he definitely, like, slipped his name into a couple. In ways the commissioner probably did not request. But, like, no, like, scientists write papers on, you know, funded by medical companies.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, not so weird.
It's not that weird.
I like a first leap from any bloggers is to Shakespeare, though.
Obviously.
Yep. Okay, so what's the next one?
All right, so now we're entering noob territory. Hello, noobs, yay! Let's find out with Brian Dunham with Peter's Digimon.
Hi, guys, I'm Brian. When it comes to deciding what I would feed my Digimon, I have to consider that, you know, you have to have a consistent supply of food. On a regular or daily basis, you can't just feed the Digimon any random thing out of the fridge, or else you'll run out of food pretty fast since Digimon eat a lot. Takato was lucky enough to have parents that ran a bakery, so he pretty much never ran out.
And that's
fortunately, my parents don't run a bakery. However, one thing I do have a lot of is cat food. We have three very fat cats that we buy a lot of food for, so I think I would feed my Digimon cat food. I know that sounds horrible, but I can't think of anything else to keep it fed regularly. No, I'm only 16, so I'm not really the grocery shopper of the fat family, so I couldn't really buy it anything else to eat. I'd also hope that since Guillemon loves bread, because that was the first thing he ate, that mine would love cat food, or at least not mind it, since he doesn't know anything else. Also, I would hope that hopefully my cats don't mind sharing.
Mm.
So, anyway, bye.
This raises a new question for me of, yes, Takato's parents own a bakery, and Terriermon is small. What does Redimon do on a, like, day-to-day basis?
Just energy drinks.
But that's the first time Rika gave her an energy drink.
She hasn't eaten the whole time. She's been there. Finally, I ate.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, I think that raises... I think this was... I think there were discussions in our comments for an earlier episode about, like, this, because the earlier seasons were very explicit that they needed food, or they didn't, or whatever. They needed food up until they realized they didn't actually need food. But like, in this season, there's, like, I think there's some ambiguity about, like, is the food just data? Like, does defeating Digimon replace the food necessity or the hunger? And I think that might be a reasonable explanation for why Renamon would eat less if she eats Digimon.
She might also just go and, like, steal eggs out of birds' nests. Like, that's a normal thing that animals do. That's a normal thing that people do, too.
Oh, I don't know what you do in Florida, Ash.
Oh, I certainly don't climb palm trees.
We have palm trees in California, too.
Yeah, and do you climb them?
No.
Yeah, right.
Wait, but I didn't realize we had listeners that were 16. That, I mean, when I was 16, I was, like, too afraid to admit I like playing Digimon. So, hat tip to you for not being like that.
Jeffrey, you were such a self-conscious kid. Like, I admitted it.
I mean, I don't know. Digimon was always, like, a not talked about thing in my school. So, it was, like, I don't know. It was, like, but.
Okay.
Cool story. Cool story, bro.
Maybe Renamon steals food from cats. Who knows? Anyway. And last, but certainly not least, let's find out what Rika is my favorite says.
Hi, this is Jackie, a.k.a. Rika is my favorite. My initial answer to the question, bacon. After thinking some more, my food answer is still bacon. However, I think a fun gift idea would be to find an action figure or stuffed animal of my partner Digimon, give it to them, and see what they do with it. Say if Gatomon was my partner Digimon, which would be a dream come true. I'd make sure it was covered in catnip, so she would love it, and make lots of silly cat puns. As for a drink, I guess hot chocolate. And nothing else, you can dip your bread in it, right? Well, that's about all I got. Thanks.
Hot chocolate and bacon? I don't know if that goes together well.
It's not kosher.
I feel so conflicted about, like, cats and catnip, because it's like they're just, you're just getting them really high. Like, it's like, oh, they're so cute, right? But, like, they're super, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, is there
we have a cat that doesn't like catnip, like, what is wrong with
okay
him?
We haven't, like, given him, we haven't
Look,
tried
some
giving that much
humans
catnip.
Don't like getting high either, so, you know,
some cats don't like getting high.
I just said some humans don't like getting high.
But I just find it, because it's like, it's a drug, and you're just like, here, just have unlimited access to the drug.
Is it actually?
I think so.
I mean, is it equivalent to like marijuana for cats?
So like, I think it is, but I mean, like, imagine if like humans had no sense of like ever needing to stop with marijuana, and they just, I don't know how marijuana works, but I assume you can't just like keep doing it and just, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if you keep doing it, you can't like drive a car.
Well, it's a good thing cats don't drive cars in the first place. So.
Yep, exactly. See, it's fine.
I think asking for Gatomon's informed adult consent before giving her the catnip would be okay.
Well, so Gatomon can talk. Gatomon, you know, I think has free will. Actual cats. I'm not so sure.
Oh, we're not talking about actual cats.
Right. It's true. But also bacon.
Yeah. I mean, I approve of bacon.
Bacon is pretty tasty.
I also approve of hot chocolate. I'm not sure I approve of them at the same time, but like, definitely separately.
I think it should be fine together. People put bacon in chocolate, so... It tastes pretty good.
Anyway, onto general listener comments. So these are just on the episode page, which you can post to through the forum. They end up on the episode page. First one I wanted to read was from Rika's My Favorite, and yeah, let's read it. The reason that the owl sounds like Edamon is probably because Sinduramon is voiced by Richard Epcar, who voiced Edamon, and he very well could have voiced the owl as well.
Oh.
As for Jeff's impression of the owl, I'm not going to unsubscribe from the podcast, but it doesn't mean they were great. Because so, I was like, people are going to love this or they're going to unsubscribe. So I'm glad people didn't unsubscribe.
It was somewhere in the middle, you dramatic person.
Yeah. But yeah, that makes, I tried to look into, like, there's no voice casting credits on the owl, so.
Well, that's foolish.
But yeah, that seems like a very plausible theory, that since the connection and stuff, and that would explain why it sounds like Edamon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And next comment, I don't know how to pronounce the username. Legnase? Sure, yeah. Let's go with that. Episode 14 and 15 are burned into my brain as a kid, but I'm not sure why. Episode 14 makes sense because Gilmon goes ultimate for the first time, but I'm not sure why I have clear memories of episode 15, as nothing of that much importance happens. And I just wanted to chime in, like, yep, that's... I feel like a lot, like... Yeah, I don't really remember 16, but 14 and 15 are, like, pretty clear in my mind, and...
Really?
I really remember the Kabuki. Like, that was my, like, impression of Kabuki going into adulthood, too. Like,
Real great.
Yeah, it's not great. I should be more informed.
That's so odd, because, like, I don't remember 14 and 15 at all.
Hmm.
And, like, even now, having just watched them 3 months ago, like, they have completely, like, slipped from my mind. Like, I know what happens in them. I don't remember how the episodes actually go at all.
Hmm.
I mean, I remember the Kabuki because I was like, oh, wait, I know what that is.
I mean, I guess what I said, like, when I remember moments, I remember like moments from them stuck with me, like the ultimate Digivolution for the first time, and the Kabuki and the snake underground, the subway fight, or whatever, and like, or the snake being in the subway. I think it was just because like that imagery of a snake Deva being in the subway was fairly unique and stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess just the thing I remember at 14 was just the fact that it happened, the Digivolution happened, and him feeling the pain and stuff.
Maybe it's because by this point I had started like not keeping up.
Mm. Yeah, that would explain it. Sure.
Yes. So there we have another section where you get to ask us things directly called Ask Podigious. Mm. So we have an open invitation for questions. And we do have a backlog to get through going back to
September.
Oh, well, that's not as bad as our other backlog then, because that one goes back to 2014, apparently.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 2014.
So, in September, Ancient Irismon asked us, if you guys could have any Digimon partner and any Digivice and any crest, what would they be? Oh, and Kailani,
a similar question,
also asked, it might be a little late since we moved out of the Adventure 02 universe, but what crest do you think you'd have? Or alternatively, what crest do you think your co-hosts would have and why? Who would like to go first?
it's a lot of questions bundled up into one.
I have to think about...
You guys have to think.
Let's go with partner right. Digimon first. Wait, Ash, do you have a solid answer for partner Digimon?
Terrymon?
Mm.
Gearmon!
See, like, the obvious, you know, like, whatever pattern then would be Impmon, but like I don't think I'd want Impmon as a partner. Like I like Impmon as a character.
Yeah, I don't think you would want Impmon as a partner either.
I don't really know who I want as a partner.
I would love Guillemot as a partner. He'd be like, you're such a cute dinosaur. Oh, yeah.
This is interesting to me that like the ones, the Digimon that both of you gravitate towards are immediately you go for as if as what you want as a partner. And I went for one that I like identify with myself, but don't want as a partner. And I can't.
You identify with Impmon?
To some degree. To some degree. I mean, but like, I don't identify. Like, it's not like the kind of thing that I like about Impmon is not like he would be such a great friend. You know, like I feel like the things that I like about Digimon is never like they're a great friend, which seems more like the kind of stuff that both of you go for. Maybe not friend with Guillemot, but like there are too many Digimon to choose from.
Well, maybe we can come back to you in a sec. I would pick the D3 Digivice, the green one. I actually have it.
And that's just like based on looks?
Yeah, that's just based off looks. I don't like the way the what are they called in this one?
D power.
What are they called in Tamers? The D power. I don't like the way those look.
Yeah, they're too round.
Yeah, and I mean the original Digivices are okay, but they're not as customizable. You know, you don't. They don't come in green. Basically, is the problem. I'm trying to remember if there were any other Digivices that later made an impression on me. And since I can't remember any of them, I guess they did not. And if I had a crest, well, Ashley got me a crest of kindness. I guess that's accurate.
Okay.
It doesn't come through on this podcast because I'm always like shutting down Jeff, but it's only Jeff. I'm a very nice person.
I don't think of you as being mean to me, so.
Oh, good. Then I can keep doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
Wait, I want to talk about, I was looking at Digivices, and I don't, like, I was, like, the thing that immediately came to mind right away. Actually, anyway, I should look at the, forgot about the Frontier ones. Like, I remember really liking the Savers or Data Squad ones. But then, like, looking at them again, and actually thinking about having one as, like, a device, not just, like, a toy or whatever, but, like, you know, actually having it as my main, you know, I don't know, connection to whatever. And it's just, like, so big and blocky. You know, like, it's, I think it's the uncanny valley of being too close to a cell phone, but so much bigger than we assume cell, like, we think of cell phones being now. Thick. I would actually go with the Frontier Digivice now I think about it.
Wait, let me go look at the Frontier one again. Because I had it, and I remember liking it.
First of all, it has, like, functional barcode scanning, which is useful. And it has customizable colors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, like, molded to the shape of a human hand in a way that's...
Yeah.
Like, I think the Saber ones are aesthetically pleasing, but they're, like, I don't know. I like the molded shape of the... It seems like it'd be cooler to hold.
I'm still sticking with the D3, but I did enjoy the Frontier one. And it comes in two colors, which is nice.
Oh, it's only two?
No. Each one has two colors on it.
Like a foreground and background, kind of.
Yeah.
And what crest would I... I don't know. I've never been one for identifying with crests.
Crest of knowledge.
Dude. Maybe.
You're the Izzy.
I guess. I don't like being labeled.
Well, that's what this question's about.
I guess I can identify with pursuing knowledge and curiosity. So, yeah, I'm good with that. And partner Digimon... I really don't have a good answer for. Yeah.
All right. Well, I would also go with the Frontier Digivices. They look coolest. Just, you know. Crest. What would I do with the crest? I think I would either have to be friendship or reliability. Can I match them together? And make loyalty, because that's what I really am trying to
get. Well, if we get to make up our own, I won't pick kindness.
You get to make them up, but you have to mash them together.
I don't know how to mash them together to get the one I want. I guess the ones I would have to mash together to get what I want would be like hope and reliability, and I don't actually...
Hope and reliability? What do you get from that?
You would get promise, but maybe kindness is better for me. I'm not that reliable.
I feel bad because I can't remember. It was a very similar question several months ago on Lost in Translation. They got, and they were very well prepared and had lots of answers. And I'm just like,
Well, I was prepared, so it's just you.
Yeah. I feel like Asher and I were like, yeah, we got this. A little bit iffy, but got it mostly. Yeah.
In that case, I can chalk up my personality. Can use it as an excuse.
Okay.
I mean, it's really an angle that I hadn't really thought of. It's just like it reflects how I must look at Digimon. Like I do not put them in the bin of like that would be a great friend to have, which is odd. Because I feel like I definitely do it with human characters. Huh. Anyway.
So you don't see Digimon as people?
Yeah. To be fair, I think it's because the show often doesn't, except for the season so far. But yeah, I mean, Tamers does a really good job of portraying the relationship between the Digimon and the human partner, but like doesn't really do much to develop many of those partners on their own. Like you don't really see much of Terrymon on his own, aside from as a foil to Henry, or Renamon as a foil to Rika. Like her arc is very tied down to Rika. Although, okay, so I totally did not script this or like put it in the plan, but I totally remember something that I thought when I was doing the when I was editing the episode, and I didn't actually write it down because I totally forgot I had written it down, was about how, but it's, I guess we were talking about how like Rika kind of retreads some of the same story beats that she had before, and it made me realize like how much, maybe this is really obvious, but like how much Rika and Renamon's relationship, it reminds me of a romance in that they're like, you know, like they're going, like they have a breakup and they come back together and they like retread the same arguments. And
you don't think that happens in friendships or in familial relations? Because it does.
That's true. So the last point I was gonna make was that Digivolution in that context reminds me a lot of like, you know, major landmark moments in relationships where you're like, okay, this is our first kiss, this is when we moved in together, this is, I don't want to get more explicit than that, but and I mean, I'm sure, yeah, the shipping stuff anyway, yes, but the like that Digivolution, that like that moment looking back on it being like, so there's this like the sense that, wait, Rika and Renamon are like, Renamon already digivolved a champion, why I remember that after, because it's been a while since we've seen these episodes, like kind of looking at a totally different light now, that like Rika and Renamon, you know, like have their moment together, Renamon digivolves, and then after that is when they break up. And it's like, that seems counterintuitive. Isn't the like moment when they get to digivolve to champion like a sign that they have like connected and like they've moved past that now? But your point is true. Your point is right, that like friends go through many of the same, even the same landmarks too. Like I feel like it's totally natural to look back on friendships and be like,
well, hopefully not, you know, the thing that
right
comes after moving in together, but
right,
I mean, maybe you do that with your friends, like, you know.
Right, nothing against
people
that.
People do that.
But right, even in a purely platonic friendship, there is just like, okay, you did this event together and became so much closer as friends, and like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I didn't actually say anything insightful, just sounded smart in my head before I really formed it into things. And I was like, wait, those are all kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sorry. Okay. Now our penultimate segment called Praise Your Craze. Ashley, what are you currently crazing to praise?
You not to talk anymore.
These sounds are purposely awful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I don't remember what I've plugged in the past.
It is kind of all a blur. And
I've been playing a lot of Amplitude, but I feel like I might have plugged that in the past. I really don't remember.
I think when it came out, maybe?
I have no idea.
Like one of the try episodes?
I just sit on the futon.
Play the same songs over and over.
And yeah, play the same songs over and over. And I'm like, I get better at it. So I'm like addicted to just like getting marginally better at it each time.
And there's nothing wrong with us repeating a plug if it's something that like your experience with it has evolved in a way. You know, if you plugged it before, it's probably like, there's this new thing. It looks kind of shiny. And now you're like, apparently can't you just keep playing it? So that's an evolution of a recommendation. So.
Yeah, for a little bit, I was in the top, like, 5,000 ranked players. I was like, all right, that's a sign. I may be playing this a little too much.
Asher, what is your craze to praise?
I've been playing this game for a while now. It's a cell phone game. It's available on Android, so that means it's probably available on whatever Apple phones are called now.
They've always been called iOS.
Bam,
are so they like new things come out and I don't know. So it's called Criminal Case. And it's, you solve mysteries, you solve murder mysteries, but it's one of those, what are they called? Hidden object games, where you get like a cluttered screen full of crap and you have to find, you know, the objects it lists at the bottom. And I really liked those games back when I was borrowing an iPad for a while. Like, I would download like the free demo versions of all those games and play them in class when I was TAing.
Wait, I just looked this up. Is Google being creepy? They must know that we're friends. But I don't think we're friends on Google Plus. It's showing 4 reviews for the game, and you're one of them.
What?
Solid, what? Fun, good graphics. This is your review.
I reviewed it
on September 26, 2015.
I guess I did. Oh, you know, I bet I did because it was going to offer me like some free incentive.
I was guessing there was something like that.
Yeah, like I don't normally review things unless I want something.
My only like experience with upselling like that in games, or like my funniest experience, is at work. Apparently we did some paid acquisition things with games, and so like people would write cancellation tickets for Scribd being like, I only signed up for this to get 5,000 gems, and I'm like, what the heck is this referring to? So confused.
Nice. One time, this doesn't have anything to do with like that kind of incentivized reviewing, but I bought a shirt from Amazon one time, and they didn't have my color or something, and like they didn't ship it to me or something weird happened. So there was like a communication snafu of some sort. So I left a 3-star review, which is still okay considering I didn't get a product. mentioning the fact, and they like immediately got back to me and was like, we can offer you a free shirt if you change that review to 5 stars. And I was like, okay. And I got a free shirt out of it.
I mean, that is definitely the game, is if you leave a bad review,
yeah,
people will work very, very hard to try to find you and make you be like, can you change this review?
Because it kills everything. Like, having worked at a company that did that. Yeah. I know a lot about that now.
I remember when I first got, I guess it was an iPod Touch, and like had access to an app store or whatever, I would be like, I was very firmly like of the philosophical belief that like, you know, something's only 5 stars if it's amazing, like if it's perfect, like it's, you know, like the idea of, and I really pushed back against the idea of, you know, the right thing, 1 star or 5 stars.
Right, right.
I guess since getting in the podcast world, it's like, it's kind of, I've been more accustomed to like, you know, 5 stars or nothing, which is really crappy because like it would be
5 stars or nothing.
It'd be nice. Like, I mean, the whole reason there are 5 stars there is so you can express your preference. And I feel bad this because this is not my plug. I'll plug it eventually. But I've been like reading One Piece and rating the books on Goodreads according to my own personal rating. And that's different because that's like a media thing. So I feel like that's more reasonable to like not, you know, like to have like a varied, for me to give it like, this is my, I don't know, media enjoyment level, not a like supporting or not level. But I feel bad because it's like, I worry that it's like weighing down the like overall rating for the book, because it's like I'm giving like a 2-star, which to me is like, it was okay. And like a 3-star for ones that I'm like, yeah, it was like average. But like average for One Piece, which is pretty good. And like, I know that that's weighing it down because it's like, you know, the algorithm sucks, like a 5, anything that's not a 5 is weighing it down. And I'm like,
I mean, it feels like Goodreads should be a thing that is not corporatized, but it is owned by Amazon. And there have been authors who have gotten into media trouble because they've openly talked about trying to game Goodreads algorithms, or like slandering, you know, amateur reviewers who like leave a negative review and then they're like, I hate you.
Right. I've seen like getting authors getting into dialogues with people who like leave written reviews and like try to like argue with them about the review. There was like one person.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I was going to say about hidden object games, I think I heard about this at QGCon, that like, I can't remember the context, something about that like hidden object games are, it's like the one sliver of the game industry that is like a majority or predominantly made by women, for women, which was an interesting factoid. I don't know if that's actually true, where that came from, but yeah. I'm going to be plugging Mr. Robot, which is a TV series, I can't remember what network it's on because I bought it on iTunes and after the series ended. It's on one of those cable networks like USA or something like that. And it's about a hacker and hacking in general. And it is surprisingly accurate in its portrayal of hacking. You know, not like 100%, but, you know, like the things they're showing are actually, you know, like actually typing terminal commands and the things they program would be like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, actually hacking. And it's simultaneously interesting to people who don't know what they're doing. And yeah, it's really successful on that front. And it's also just a really intriguing and interesting story. It's kind of like a thriller. It's really like it was a weekend that I sprained my ankle and didn't really want to be moving too much. So I just laid on a futon and watched it all weekend while Ashley, I think you were going to hockey. You had a lot of hockey games that weekend. I think it was that weekend. No. Yeah. It was that weekend, actually.
The hockey tournament weekend?
Yeah. So I just watched most of it in a weekend and it was a good weekend. And it's also...
Jeff likes when I'm not here. That's what he just said.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I enjoy not being able to move. And it's very much... I mean, these are lights. If you are intrigued enough to watch it and don't want any spoilers whatsoever, then skip ahead a minute. But I don't think this is too much of a spoiler that it's very much informed by Fight Club. And I'm not going to go into details of why, but it's like, and I think it's really successful in basically being like not a follow, but like it's rare that I've seen something that's like, it is clearly following in this thing's footsteps in some ways. And I think you get a very different experience watching it if you are familiar with Fight Club than if you weren't. Like, it feels like it's definitely post Fight Club in some way. I don't want to spoil too much, but there are certain expectations you have. Certain things seem similar and may or may not be that I think it kind of plays with. I suspect that they kind of expect you to have seen Fight Club and have some expectations going in. So, yeah, it's very good. Let us know what you thought about this episode in our comments at podigis.com/304.5. We also have detailed notes on the site about all the characters, images, and references we make. So check those out if you're curious about anything we mentioned.
Podigis is made possible with support from our awesome Patreon, Amanda Angelman, Andre LeDucman, David Grauman, Eric Angelman, Joe Keto, Jack Santa Agumon, Kai Lunaman, Sam Kriwagamon, and Sophie Padawan.
If you want to become a Patreon and support the show, you can join our private Slack group chat for $1 a month, you can get monthly stickers for $5 a month, and you can get early episodes for $10 a month. We also have a lot more rewards and goals, so check out patreon.com/podigis.
You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. You can find me on Twitter at JeffinelyJeff. You can find Ashley.
AshMcD00 on Twitter.
And Asher, where can they find you?
AsherDashery at Tumblr.
You can also find links to all of our social media accounts at podigis.com.
Our Calamon artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle. Check out her webcomics, Let's Speak English, Sleepless Domain, and Kiwi Blitz, and she's also Cube Watermelon on Tumblr and Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who keep asking you, whoa, they're still making Digimon games?
Bye. And remember, never stop Digimon. I guess one nice thing about having that intro soundboard thing is that I can easily visually spot it. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can do.
You could scream into your microphone.
Repent!
Okay, I'll try to use Ashley's scream to sync it. Oh, God. I mean, okay. I like that joke the best when, like, we weren't screaming it. It was just, like, in public, being, like whispering it, but, like... One punch!
I can't say it in any way, seriously.
One punch!
It was definitely the best part of karaoke. I'm never gonna... That's my lasting impression of Japan.
No. The best part of karaoke was, like, realizing, like, between songs, like, wait, is that Butterfly in the other room? It is Butterfly. They're playing Digimon. And, like, they played a different Digimon song, too. And I was like, what? What is it? And I couldn't place what it was, but I knew it was Digimon. And now, our penultimate segment called Praise Your Gaze, where we praise the things we're currently gazing.
That sounds...
Is that what you think it means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you think that means?
A... I looked up in the dictionary, so it doesn't just mean the sexual gaze, although it does also mean that, like the male gaze. Okay, it doesn't, I'm stretching it. So gaze, to stare intently or earnestly.
I know what gaze means.
We know what the word means. That's not what we heard.
Oh.
That's not what anybody else is going to hear either.
Oh. Yeah, I guess we can't really use that.
No, we can't.
No, Jeffrey, we can't because it's ridiculous on many levels.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back to the list.
Your list, if they're all like that one and the last one you did, like,
don't ever go into marketing, Jeffrey. Ever.
Yeah, seriously. Actually,
every other time I come up with a name, you've been like, you should go into naming things.
Oh, but this one, you've really ruined it.
Okay.
Amanda Angelman. Andre Leduc. Ah, now I can't talk. Andre is like rubbing up.
Andre Lelouchman. You can find me on Twitter at JeffonlyJeff. You can find Ashley.
AshMcPhee00.
That's not a sentence.
Wait, Ashley, you gave them your thing, but you didn't say what medium it was.
I don't know.
Okay, wait, okay. Let me start over. And Asher, where can they find you?
Asher Dashery at Tumblr.
Or a synagogue. Oh.
You cannot find me at Asher Dashery at synagogue.
No, I just meant like just go in a synagogue and you'll be there.
I mean, you could maybe find me in a synagogue if you happen to be in that particular area, but I'm not telling you where I live. Share the podcast with your friends who keep asking you, whoa, they're still making Digimon games? Which, by the way, that's me. I'm that friend.
No, today my coworker was like, Ashley, do you play the new Digimon game? And I was like, no, but my boyfriend has like 4 different copies of it. And he was like, that's a lot of copies. Also, I like it because it's Persona, but with Digimon.
Oh, I can never play it then.
What does that mean?
That's too much stuff going on in it.
Have you listened to it? It's like the same.
Too much time management. I have not listened to you stream it.
Oh, actually. No. I was going to say like any of the music because it's the same composer as Danganronpa.
No. Look, if it was Digimon Ronpa, I could play it.
The music though was like this is like a kind of worse remix of the Danganronpa title music.
Well, that's a shame.
Next time on Potages, in just another day or two, we have a bonus episode to celebrate something special happening in Jeff and Ashley's city. Wink, wink.
Bye.
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 And remember, never stop digivolving.
The Super Bowl is happening in your city?
Yeah. I mean...
Where have you been?
Well, I just said that I don't watch TV. Wait.
So remember how we discussed how, like, I didn't know what the other team was or even, like, what the Denver team was? The mascot and cheerleading squad were in my building this morning. I was like, okay, that's Broncos. I got it now.
Good job.